want to cover intentionally. And if we don't get much further than that, that's okay. But let's begin this morning in, praise God, one more time, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Praise God. Let's go there. That's just a really good spot to start. And this, of course, is a testimony from the Apostle Paul's own experience. But how many of you know the patterns that God has established apply to all of us? And so we can learn from, you know, the world says learn from people's mistakes. Well, amen. That's, I guess there's some value to that. But we don't just have to learn from people's mistakes. We can learn from people's successes. We can learn from people's victories. Amen. Certainly not to compare yourself, because the Bible tells us we should not compare ourselves amongst ourselves. But find somebody that's maybe just a little bit further along than you are in the things of God, and hitch your wagon to theirs. Amen. Paul said it this way, and he wasn't being arrogant when he said it. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." And so the idea is that Paul was welcoming people to watch his life and to learn from his life. Now, this same Paul who said this also said that he had not already attained. He also recognized that there were things that he was still growing up into, and there were still things that were available for him to lay hold of, but he had not yet laid hold of. But he felt like and believed by the Spirit of God that he had accomplished enough maturity and growth in the things of God for other people to watch him and to learn from him. And so when we talk about, you know, people who are successful, let's say that there's something God's put in your heart to do, that somebody else that you're connected to in some way in the body of Christ is already doing and doing successfully. I guarantee you, if they have a heart for God and are doing something successfully, they will welcome not only your questions, but would be honored to try to help you move forward in the thing that they are already winning and succeeding in. Hallelujah. Many of you know Todd Ivey. Of course, he and his wife, Sherry, they moved out to Corpus Christi, Texas. And the plans are for them to come back this way. And when he was at the Foundry, he said he was in a chapel service. And he said the Lord spoke to his heart just as clearly as he ever had in his life. He said, that man right there pointed. He said, I was up there speaking. He said, that man right there. He said, I want you to get in his back pocket and don't leave it until I tell you to. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't know that. I just knew that Todd and I had formed a really close brotherhood bond. But to this day, we talk frequently, you know, about things in his life and decisions that he has to make and things of this nature. And I was humbled by that when he told me that, you know, I was like, man, okay, wow, you know. But again, I was honored. I got to help Todd. No, I was like, man, okay, I'll help you any way I can, brother. I'll serve you any way I can. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul is a pattern, and we can look at his life to learn from, and just like Abraham, follow in the footsteps of faith. And so the Apostle Paul said this: when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, if you're new to the study, we've been talking for some time now about breaking free from a darkened understanding. And perhaps other than Jesus, the Apostle Paul spoke more and wrote more about our understanding than any other person, at least in the New Testament. And if you've studied carefully and read carefully the words of Jesus, we know that Jesus brought up this word understanding on a regular basis. Not just to the masses and to the crowds, but to his inner circle. And we see that understanding and a darkened understanding was one of the greatest challenges and one of the biggest problems, issues that the disciples dealt with and struggled with. And we see that, you know, connected with this darkened understanding that they had, Jesus equated it to a hardened heart. And when we hear hardened heart, we think of somebody who's hard-hearted towards other people, who doesn't, you know, mean, nasty, gruff, whatever. Well, I mean, the disciples, they had sacrificed a lot. We don't think of them as being hard-hearted. But what Jesus meant by hard-hearted is a heart that had already been set in its way. A heart that was already, the understanding was already fixed. It wasn't soft and pliable and malleable that could be formed and shaped by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. But instead, it was one that was hard and firm and rigid. So hard, firm, and rigid that they could see miracles, participate in miracles, even perform miracles themselves, but their understanding not be changed by that. And by understanding, we mean by the way they saw things or by the way looked at things. And of course, we know this because Jesus addressed it in the lives of the disciples over and over again. He said, "How is it that you do not understand?" And we've said this over and over again, but I want to just keep saying it because I want you to remember it. And I want the Holy Spirit to bring it to your memory. Remember now, the disciples, when it says they didn't understand the miracles, what that meant was yesterday's miracles never became a factor in today's or tomorrow's problems. They saw and experienced the miracles, but it didn't change the way they looked at other needs and other issues and other problems in their lives. So their minds did something funny with the miracles. Their minds categorize those miracles as an anomaly. Now, I'm not trying to use big words on you this morning, okay? But an anomaly means it's real, but it's really not the norm. They didn't see it as a new norm. Now, we've heard that a lot, especially since COVID. COVID has established a new norm. Well, I just refuse to confess that and believe that. Amen. I know that some things have changed and what have you, but see, God is wanting to establish a new normal in your life. And by establishing a new normal, this is when your understanding changes and the way you look at things, the way you see things change. And so notice now what Paul was saying. When he was a child, he spoke as a child, he understood as a child, he thought as a child, but when he became a man, he put away childish things. Child here means a few things, and one of the things that it means is unlearned, unenlightened. Well, Paul was a very learned man. He had learned a lot, but his learning was missing enlightenment. It was missing the light of God. And it's only in the light of God that we're able to see things as they truly are. In the Old Testament, it says it this way: in God's light, we see light. In His light, we see light. In other words, when God's light shines into a situation, then and only then are we able to see it as it truly is. So, as I said a few weeks ago, the Apostle Paul was the poster child. He was Saul before he was born again. He was the poster child for a darkened understanding because he was as learned in the Scripture as any man who ever lived, but he had no enlightenment. And he is living proof that someone can be an expert, if you will, in the written Word of God, but still have a darkened understanding, because only in God's light, only in God's light does the light of God's Word enable you to see things as they truly are. And so there, remember, Satan quoted the Bible to Jesus when he was tempting him. Okay? So the devil knows how to use Scripture and twist Scripture and pervert Scripture. Amen? We talk about a version of something. Well, there's a perversion of it as well. Satan knows how to pervert it and twist it and use the Word of God to confuse people and darken people's understanding, even with the Word of God. And so when it says the entrance of His Word gives light, we have to see the Word of God in the light of God, not in the light of man's opinion, not in the light of mainstream religion, not in the light of religious traditions, not in the light of denominational doctrines, not in the... Are you following me? You will never see things as they truly are looking through those lenses. Only in the light of God will you see things as they truly are from the Word of God. Y'all remember Hiawatha Sheffield? Man, what a beautiful brother. Amen. I think his impact on my life is I think revealed by how often I still think about him. And I remember a conversation that we had after his cataract surgery. And you know, after his cataract surgery, he was like, "Pastor," he said, "the blues and the purples, the blues and the purples." I mean, he was just in awe of how vivid the blues and the purples were. But guess what? The blues and the purples had always been blues and purples. And the ability of his optic nerve to see those blues and purples. Nothing wrong with that either. But what had happened, a milky hazy film had come in between the blues and the purples and his optic nerve. But once that was removed, now he could see the blues and the purples as they had always been and as they truly are. Satan's job is to try and get these spiritual cataracts, to try and get this hazy film of uncertain man's religion, traditions, seeing things figuratively instead of literally, layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of things that he's trying to use to prevent the true light of God from breaking through into your heart so that you can then see things as they truly are. And this is what we mean by a darkened understanding. Our understanding is darkened by things that we have allowed into our minds and thinking that are preventing the true light of God from illuminating and showing us the way things are. And when I say that the Apostle Paul was the poster child for this, amen, it's because, again, he was perhaps one of the most devoted, passionate, committed men who ever lived to God and most knowledgeable of the Word that ever lived to God, but was as blind as he could be to who Jesus truly was. And I know we look at that and we go, how in the world could this be? Well, again, this is why I'm saying he's the poster child. And if you don't think this is still happening today, my brother, my sister, you are wrong. You are wrong. And if you don't think you are potentially susceptible to this, again, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to help you. But you are wrong. That's why we need to ask the Lord to give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is why Paul prayed this out of Ephesians 1 consistently and constantly and continually over the church, that God would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that we would be able to see with perception, see clearly as it truly is, the hope of God's calling, the riches of His glory invested inside, already given to you and me, the exceeding greatness of His power directed towards us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated Him at God's own right hand with a name above every name. Amen. He's asking and praying for our eyes to be enlightened. Amen. Enlightened so that we can see it as it truly is. I've heard these things and I believe these things. Don't misunderstand me, that the greatest, you know, the hope of the world is the local church and the importance of the local church and so forth and so on. I couldn't agree more with that, but if I could just add one more layer to that, amen. When we say the church, we're talking about the body of Christ. You are the church, amen. So what the world needs most is people who can see things as they truly are and are not afraid or ashamed to declare it and proclaim it. Speak the truth in love, but still speak the truth, though. Amen. All right, now. So when Paul says he was a child, he's talking about someone who is unenlightened. And he saw things as one who was unenlightened. He thought as one who was unenlightened. He spoke as one who was unenlightened. But when he became a man, he put away unenlightenment. He put away childish things. Now, this word put away here is not talking about the gradual growth and maturity from infant to toddler, toddler to child to young adult to adult. That's a gradual change that takes place over time. In this particular usage of the original language, Paul is talking about something that shifted immediately and significantly. Amen. And if we have time, I'll show you this in his real life, real time testimony from Acts chapter 9, where he says that immediately the scales fell off and he could see and could see clearly. Okay. We could say it this way. The Holy Spirit performed spiritual cataract surgery on the Apostle Paul. Amen. And now all of a sudden what he couldn't see before, he could see clearly as it truly was. And then the Bible says he immediately went to the temple and began to preach Christ Jesus as the Son of God and Messiah. It was an immediate thing for him. Amen. All right, now, we made this statement closing out last week, and I want to add a few to it and then go over a few things before we're done this morning. You cannot understand like a child and live like an adult. And what we mean by understanding is you can't look at things as a child, or you can't look at things without the light of God, with, you know, an unenlightened state, and live like an adult. If you look at things through you know, as one who is not enlightened, then you're going to live like one who is not enlightened. So you cannot understand like a child and live like an adult. Amen. An adult here means more than just a mature Christian. An adult here is talking about that which has reached its intended end, meaning the life that God always meant for you to live, meaning you seeing things as they truly are. Father God never created mankind to live and struggle through life with a darkened understanding. That was never, ever, ever his plan. Sin is what darkens the understanding. Amen. Jesus came to give us life and light. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he is the light of God that shines upon every man. And we looked at these verses a few weeks back from 1 John. The Bible says the true light of God is already shining. Amen. And the darkness is passing away. The darkness is being removed. We're coming out from under a cloud of confusion and tradition and wrong thinking. And the true light of God is enabling us to see things as they truly are. I want to build on this, though, and just to drive the point home a little further. You cannot understand like a slave to sin and live in freedom. My friend, my brother, my sister, if you've been born again, you are no longer a slave to sin. But see, a lot of people still see themselves that way. They still see themselves as victims. They still see themselves as weak. And so because that's the way you see and that's the way you understand, that's the way you live, but that's not who you are. Let's build on this a little bit more, okay? You cannot understand like a failure and live, that should say, in victory. You cannot understand like a failure and live in victory. Do you see why the devil's tried your whole life to make you think and believe and see yourself as a failure? And notice the devil loves to point out the different times in life that you failed and use those as evidence for who you be. You're doing versus your being. Well, because you've done this and you failed, that makes you this. Well, that's not what makes you who you are. Seed is what determines who you are. And if you've been born again, you've been born again of an incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. You've been made more than a conqueror, amen, in Christ Jesus. He always causes you to triumph. All right, now, you cannot understand like a pauper and live in prosperity. You cannot understand like a pauper and live in prosperity. Now, we could preach and have preached, and we'll in the future preach some, you know, often and early and often on this. But, you know, there is, sweet Jesus. See, when we experience lack and poverty and not enough, Satan tries again to use those experiences to form within us an understanding, right? I say it this way, so many of God's people live with a survival mindset because they were raised by survivors. We learn surviving from our parents. And that's our understanding. We view life as an exercise in survival. We view life as waking up early and trying to stay two steps ahead of, the car being repossessed, the lights being turned off, and that's how we were raised. That's what we know. That's how we think. That's how we understand. And because that's the way we see things. Remember, the more set you become in your ways, the more set you become in your way of seeing things, the more blind you become to other possibilities, to other ways of life and living. One of my favorite studies on this is the study of men and women who became overnight wealthy and men and women who became overnight poor. Okay? And what I mean by that is, like, for example, someone who maybe struggled financially their whole life and then they won the lottery, or they received a multi-million-dollar NFL contract, or they received some inheritance from a long-lost aunt or uncle or something like that. And so, again, understood life from a poverty perspective, now all of a sudden they've got millions. The overwhelming majority of them in just a very brief period of time are back in poverty. Compare that to someone who was raised in wealth, who bad business decision. Dave Ramsey comes to mind, if y'all are familiar with his teachings. He overextended himself in debt in real estate. The bottom fell of the real estate market. So he went from wealthy to basically overnight in poverty. But then, again, I'm not just talking about one people. I'm talking about scads of people, large groups of people in both categories, and how quickly those who had money before lost it all, how quickly they become wealthy again. What's the difference? Understanding. Are you hearing me? Understanding. Man, I'm not sure I'm getting through to some of you this morning. That's the difference, is understanding. It's how you look at it. It's how you look at it. Well, praise the name of living God. All right. You cannot understand like a sinner and live in righteousness. Can't understand like a sinner. See, and this is why the devil loves to feed us lies. And remember, we talked about this a little bit, I think it was on Wednesday night. The devil is trying to feed you lies, but two things have got to happen in order for you to eat them. First of all, he's got to make them tasty, and he's got to find some appetite in you to appeal to. Okay? And so one of the ways that the devil seasons his lies is he puts as much truth in it as he possibly can, and yet it still be a lie. This is why so many of God's people who haven't searched out the Word of God, labored in the Word, studied to show themselves approved, or listening to the wrong teachers, what have you, are so easily believe things that aren't the truth, because it sounds good, it sounds true. How about this one? God won't put more on you than you can bear. Don't amen that, because that's a lie. The Bible doesn't say that. That's a perversion of, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with every test, trial, and temptation make a way of escape for you. Now, religion, inspired by the enemy, has taken that passage and wrongly translated into God won't put more on you than you can bear. Doesn't say that God is putting the test, trials, or temptations on you. As a matter of fact, the Word says in James, let no man say when he's tested, tempted, or tried, he's being tested, tempted, or tried by God. For God cannot be tested, tempted, or tried by evil, nor does he test, tempt, or try any man. So if you're being tested, tempted, or tried, the devil's behind it. But again, he's trying to entice you and draw you away by some desire in your flesh, some fleshly desire. Are you with me? I'm just trying to show you here, right? Here's another one. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And you hear people say that all the time. My friend, that's a lie. There's no such thing. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. If you were a sinner and you have received salvation, you were once a sinner, but now after having been saved by grace, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But notice now, see, that old sinner saved by grace, people say it all the time. Well, you know, we're just all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. No, we're not. We were sinners. You say, well, Pastor Mark, it's the same. No, it's not the same thing. Ephesians 5:8 says it's not the same thing. This is how Ephesians 5:8 says it, and we should agree with God and agree with Him quickly. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Period. Walk as children of light. Do you see how plain and distinct that is? See, the devil's always trying to blur the truth with the lie to make the lie more palatable, more acceptable. And it appeals to our flesh to say we're just a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. It appeals to a false humility. You know what false humility is? Falsely humble people are people who are so proud of how humble they are. Right?
Well, you know, we're just all a bunch of sinners.
And it sounds like we're being humble, but really what we're really doing there is we're trying to justify things in our lives that we know we should have already stopped doing a long time ago. Amen. Are you seeing this? Okay. So you cannot understand like a sinner and live in righteousness. What are we talking about now? We're talking about seeing yourself as someone who has been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And all of that happened through the new birth. But see, unless and until you see yourself that way, understand that that's who you are now, you'll continue to see yourself as a sinner trying to live opposite to who you truly are. You and me, born again believers, trying to live right, We're not trying to live opposite to who and what we really are. We are learning how to live in agreement and harmony with who we became the day we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have been made righteous, therefore I have the wherewithal and the ability within myself to live righteously. Furthermore, when I was born again, He put His Spirit, a new Spirit in me, and His Spirit in me, and that Spirit in me now not only wants to do right, gives me the power to do right. Praise God. All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when Paul said he put away, he was talking about something immediate, a transition. The word the Holy Spirit gave us a few years back is a significant shift. Now, there are gradual, incremental, faith by faith, from faith to faith, glory to glory, step by step, line upon line, and we're all making that gradual growth and development. But then there are times, when it's significant. It's a significant shift. And there are words in the Greek language that literally refer to this. It's as if you've been put in a spiritual catapult and slung forward. Okay? And this is what happened the day the scales fell off of the Apostle Paul's physical eyes, but also the eyes of his understanding. When those scales fell off, it all became clear. He could finally see things as they truly are. Amen. And that's what he is referring to here. Now, this is what the enemy wants us to do. And so I try to express this in a slide. You cannot change the way you see things by placing a scripture film over your current lenses. See, this is the mistake that people try to make. They try, rather than putting away the unenlightened former way of understanding, is they try to hold on to that, but then add to the mix. Are you following me? God's way of seeing and understanding. And Jesus made it clear, you cannot serve God and mammon. Whatever you look to becomes the lens you look through. And if you put your trust in the things of this world, if you put your trust in your own understanding, if you put your trust in, what the Bible calls the rudimentary elements of this world, then you're going to look at your life and everything that has to do with your life through that lens. The mistake that so many of God's people make is they try to keep that old way of looking at things and overlay it with scriptures. But this is what the Bible calls double vision. Seeing double, or James really zeroed in on it, being double-minded. Anybody remember what the Word of God says about a man or a woman who's double-minded? Unstable in all their ways. Unstable in all their ways. Now, this is what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to pull out the power that's in God's Word to change your life experience by, you know, not doing away with one and replacing it with a new, but by trying to blend them. Amen. I think I used this example a year or so ago when we were talking on something similar to this. If, you know, I have corrective lenses on right now, I'm looking through these lenses. Okay. And, you remember the, you can put these things, my children have basically, you know, they've loved me enough to say, Dad, please don't, you know, but those flip up lenses, you know what I'm talking about? The glasses, you can flip them down and flip them up. Yes. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was the greatest thing, David. You know, amen. I didn't realize, but amen. But see, that's what a lot of people try to do. They keep their former understanding, but then they get a bad report from the doctor and they want to flip down their faith lens for a minute. And then flip it back up and flip it down, flip it back, flip it. You got to get rid of the old way and put on the new glasses. So that we're not trying to see generosity through a lens of selfishness. You follow what I'm saying? We're not trying to see our situation through, you know, we've got on skeptical lenses. We look at everything skeptically. We look at everything, you know, with a, what do they call it, a grain of salt. You know,
we're just practical people, Pastor Mark.
Well, amen. You know what I'm saying? The gospel's not like that. Amen. You don't take the gospel with a grain of salt. You take it literally. Amen. Are you following me? Praise God. Okay, I've been doing some writing on that. I could preach an hour. I won't. Okay. So that means you've got to remove the skeptical lenses and put on the faith lenses. Don't try to flip down some faith over skeptical. That's double-mindedness. Are you seeing it? Okay. All right. Praise God. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're good. Where does the time go? Where does the time go? Amen. God is good. Amen. Are you thankful? Are you blessed? Amen. Come on, Matt, Vanessa, Dan. Let's take a few minutes. Amen. They can sing us out here in just a minute. Amen. Let me put this up while they're coming. Being set in your own ways blinds you to the ways of God. Being set in your own ways blinds you to the ways of God. In John the 8th chapter, Jesus said to a group of people, "My word has no place in you." My word has no place in you. Right? What does that mean? It means their minds were made up. Meaning what? Meaning they weren't accepting any other ways of looking at things. Amen. It was a full house, praise God. And so therefore there was no room for the correct way of seeing things. And watch this now. Jesus said, "And because of that, you desire to kill me." You desire to kill me. How blind, right? The author and giver of life, they want to kill the author and giver of life because of a darkened understanding. Man, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Being set in your own ways blinds you to the ways of God. This is a darkened understanding. This is a hardened heart. Not according to this world's definition of a hardened heart, according to Jesus' definition of a hardened heart. Even then, see, these are different. We have this worldly view of a hardened heart, and we think, well, I don't have a hardened heart. I mean, when the cashier asks me if I want to give a dollar to Children's Hospital, I say, add it right on there, you know. Yes, ma'am, help them babies, right? Okay. So we don't think we have a hardened heart. But what Jesus is talking about the hardened heart is we become so set in our ways that we can't see it any other way. And the problem with that is we can't see it God's way. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Help us, Jesus. Bow your heads this morning. Praise God. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, committed no sin, but because of your sin and my sin, he allowed himself to be executed on a Roman cross, shed his blood as a sacrifice for payment for your sin and my sin. He was buried, death, hell, and the grave for 3 days, 3 nights. But on that third morning, praise God, he rose from the dead, victorious, triumphant. After being seen by many people for 40 days, he then ascended to the right hand of his Father, where he sits right now on the throne of the universe. Angels gave us word after he ascended that he would one day return. My friend, that's the gospel. That's the good news. And there's power in that simple message to bring salvation to you and to your entire household. Amen. 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 If you're here this morning, you say, "Pastor Mark, I've never received Jesus. I've never received what he did for me, as me, for myself, but I'd like to do that this morning." Is there anybody in the room? You say, "Pastor Mark, I've never been born again, but this is my morning." Anybody? Amen. 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 All right. Father, thank you. And Lord, should there be someone watching online this morning, we just bless them and we simply say to them, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Ask and invite Jesus to come into your life and make you a new creation, a new creature, a new creation, and he'll do it. He'll do it immediately. Amen. If you're online and you're asking the Lord into your heart for the first time, you need to let somebody know. Call us, email us, reach out to us, go tell a neighbor. Run out into your front yard, on the balcony of your apartment, wherever you may be right now, and shout it to the world that you just received Jesus as your Savior. Amen. Declare him, proclaim him. Amen. Father, I thank you for the men and women that are listening to me right now, both in this room and online. Father, I thank you that you are opening our eyes to see, Lord, the importance of you opening our eyes. Lord, that you're opening our eyes for us to be able to see and understand, Lord, the importance of us breaking free from a darkened understanding. Lord, that your light is breaking through. And in your light, we see light. In your light and in your light alone, Father, are we able to see things as they truly are. And Father, sometimes seeing things as they truly are involves you revealing to us, Lord, things that we have believed, things that we have thought, things that we have clung to maybe for many, many years that we believe to be true, that we're not true, that we're not accurate. And Lord, I thank you that Lord, if we're ever going to be right, we're going to have to be teachable. And so Lord, we thank you that you're teaching us and we surrender this morning to you. We surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, whose job is to lead us and guide us into all truth. And his workings in our lives, Father, even through supernatural gifts and signs and wonders, Lord, through the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, which means since he was poured out on the day of Pentecost, working in and through the lives of your people. And so, Father, we yield ourselves to you. We acknowledge every good thing that's in us. Father, we acknowledge every good thing that's in us. And Lord, it's not in us because we earned it or deserved it or worked hard or paid some sum of money or memorized enough Bible verses or went to enough Sunday school classes. Father, those good things are in us for one reason and for one reason only, the grace of God given to us as a free gift. And Father, we want all the good that's in us to become outward expressions from us, Lord, for the righteousness and the freedom and the victory and the prosperity. Father, for the wisdom and the gifts and callings and the potential, Lord, that you've put within every man or woman in this room and listening to me online right now. Father, for all of that to be manifested in a way that glorifies you, that touches other people, and benefits your people individually. So, Father, we call it so. We thank you for this time together. Once again, we bless and give thanks for our graduates this morning and for all that they will accomplish in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing it together and then we'll be dismissed with them. Praise God. Worship the Lord this morning. If you desire prayer, these altars are open for you.